Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
It's time now for the Friday gathering. We take a look back at the stories of the week, and I'm joined by Brenda Power, columnist with the Sunday Times and the Daily Mail, Colm Brophy, Fine Gael TD for Dublin South West and Minister for Overseas Development, Aid and Diaspora, and Paul Murphy, People Before Profit TD for Dublin South West. And I want to start with the story that we started the programme with today. We were talking to Minister Dara O'Brien about this delay in the publication of the Housing for All plan. He said, there's nothing to see here. We're just working out a few details. Most of the work is done. Do you accept that, Paul?
Well, it's a funny way of demonstrating that this is your number one priority, which obviously Micheál Martin was at pains to repeat to us over the course of the last couple of months. Whenever, never mind delivering homes, you can't even deliver your basic plan in time. And I mean, each day, each week, each month that is wasted where we don't invest in building public housing, which is the central thing that needs to happen at the kind of levels that are needed, is a day that is wasted and is extra money that is going down the drain in terms of the billion euros a year that is going to HAP, to RAS, to leasing, all money that is ending up with corporate landlords and vulture funds as opposed to actually resolving the housing
crisis. But surely because of the scale of the plan, is that not reason enough for the time to be taken to make sure that it is right and it's done properly and all of the boxes are ticked?
100%. Do it right. Do it correctly and everything, but then do it in the time frame that you have previously said you're going to be able to do it in. Of course, the plan, they have a nice name, Housing for All. It's kind of a name that is taken from, I think, some of the housing movements that we've seen. But I don't believe that unless it represents a radical change in terms of policy direction that is going to deliver on that.
Okay. There's a lot of speculation, Colm Brophy, in the papers that there's an issue here. There's a political problem between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil resulting in this delay.
Well, there just isn't. Papers like to speculate. I heard you chatting to Dara. He made that case to you. I heard the Taoiseach doing a doorstep in Galway. He made exactly the same point. There isn't. It's a comprehensive plan, as the minister indicated to you. They're working it through. They're at the very final stages of working it through. They're going to get it right. It's important to remember, by the way, that as this plan is being worked through, there is building underway. There is houses being built. There is houses being delivered. And there's been some major improvements, as Dara mentioned to you, in terms of tackling the housing problem which this government faces. So I think the key thing is getting the plan right.
Yeah.
And I think that's
I suppose if you set out your stall and you say, this is our number one priority, we're going to sort this out. We're going to have a Housing for All plan for you in July. And then on the 22nd of July, last night, you say, sorry, lads, we actually don't have that plan ready and we'll come back to you in September.
But I think it's far more important if you do make it quite clear that something is a number one priority, that when you launch something, you get it right. And if you have to take a few extra days to get it right, then that's the best way of doing it.
Okay, do you understand, Brenda, why there might be a delay needed if housing is, as we're told, the top priority for this government?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you could argue, as Colm is doing there, that it is a measure of the importance and the significance attached to this plan, that if it did take a few more days or weeks or whatever it's going to be to get it right, then that time was accorded. It would have been easier, I guess, to have met the deadline and then maybe weathered some challenges or difficulties down the road. I heard the minister say, I think, or maybe read, that he said they wanted it watertight, which is absolutely the correct way to proceed with something as important as this. On the other hand, I guess it will emerge sooner or later if there is actually, if this is not the reason that it's being held up, but rather that there is some sort of dispute between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael over the minutiae of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, do you suspect that there is a problem?
Well,
there?
It's hard to say. I mean, it's a 10-year plan. So if it takes another 6 weeks to get it right, I prefer that time was given.
I don't think there is genuinely.
I was checking your facial expression there just to see.
Thanks very much, Claire. I don't think there is. I think genuinely, obviously, everybody comes into a discussion like this and it's a full cross-government, all the departments represented, there's a housing committee, everybody has their views. But, I mean, there's great cohesiveness, I think, within the government in terms of this issue. There is the programme for government, which was put together, which leads the type of thinking on it. And I think there is absolutely, I think we're going to see a very good plan. I think it's just merit getting it absolutely right and taking those few extra days is the right way to do it.
The minister said there'll be achievable targets woven into the plan. What do you think success will look like?
Well, it's very... First of all, I want to see the plan. I want to see the details of the plan. I mean, obviously, the key thing is to try and build and supply the housing that's required out there. It's taking us through to 2030, so it's a cross... election, cross-governmental plan. It's a thing that'll outlive any one election. But the key thing is to provide, for me, the structures and the way in which we can build and deliver houses on a sustainable basis to meet the current housing need, but also to ensure that we don't get into a situation where we get back into a housing problem like this again in the future. So those are the key things I'll be looking for, and I think we'll see them in the plan.
Okay, I want to talk about indoor hospitality now. We have no guidelines yet. Indoor hospitality is expected to open on Monday. We were in touch with a publican here on the programme yesterday who just says it's an absolute joke. They're setting us up to fail. How can we familiarise ourselves with the guidelines, get staff to come in early, train them and be ready in time? It's a big ask, Brenda, isn't it?
It is. It really is. I have such pity for restaurateurs at the moment trying to negotiate the changing landscape of this particular area. I mean, the difficulties for them in trying to know, as you say, what stocks to have in, what staff they're going to need, and how exactly the policing of these certs is going to be managed. Because it does appear as though they're going to be the ones who are going to have to be asking people to show their certificates. And then the question of whether or not children are going to be allowed to dine with their parents, unvaccinated children are going to be allowed to dine with their parents. There's so much fudge and there's so much uncertainty. I mean, they've been through an awful lot over the last 18 months, it is almost now. To keep them dangling like this really is most unfair.
And Paul, you would prefer that there was a complete delay on reopening indoor hospitality for a number of weeks.
Yeah, I do think the restaurateurs and publicans are being put in a very difficult position. They're being the ones asked to police the government's discriminatory measures and the fact that we don't have the guidelines at this stage. But even regardless of guidelines, like, we have a bunch of guidelines in terms of ventilation. We have no legislation relating to ventilation for COVID whatsoever, still over 500 days into a pandemic. And all of that points to the fact that it is not safe, it is reckless to reopen indoor hospitality. I mean, if you look at the case numbers, we're now on a trajectory that is worse than Neffet's most pessimistic scenario. So yesterday, I think Leo Varadkar was quoted as saying he's confident it's going to peak at 3,000 or 4,000 cases a day. I don't know what he's basing that on. Neffet's most pessimistic scenario goes over 10,000 cases a day, leads to close to 2,000 deaths. That's the trajectory we're on now without reopening indoor hospitality, which is likely to lead to a further surge. And that's not only about deaths. It's not only about the hospitality workers being placed in danger. It's also about endangering the reopening of our schools in 5 weeks' time. You know, they're prioritising indoor pubs and restaurants and putting in danger the full reopening of schools and colleges, which I think most people have asked would say, well, if I have to make a choice there, I choose to go for schools and hospitals. And that's schools and colleges. And that's not the choice
that the government is making. But it's not the case that the UK, which is a month ahead of us in this regard, has seen a plateauing, I think, of cases. Yeah, or at least some grounds for optimism.
Absolutely. I think what the Taoiseach was alluding to yesterday in answering questions was looking at the UK situation and looking at that plateauing in figures and looking at the ratio of infection and hospitalisation. So I think if you were looking at all of that, that was driving his comments. It's really important to say, because Paul likes a bit of scaremongering from time to time, there's nobody saying that school reopening has been put at risk. There's nobody saying it's an either or choice. What we're trying to do in a very cautious and very safe way, which we've been criticised for doing, is to reopen things that are part of normal life, is as in a way that we can do it that's as safe as possible. So one of that is, in particularly for the thousands and thousands of people whose jobs are in this industry, is to reopen hospitality. On foot of the advice to the government around trying to do that safely, we have in just a couple of weeks completely brought in a new scheme which will enable that reopening to take place for people who are vaccinated. Those people will make their own choices as to whether they want to go in and eat indoors. For the moment, from what I can see all around town, there are thousands and thousands of people enjoying outdoor hospitality and really enjoying it because of the weather and everything we've been blessed to have. In a way, I think that'll continue right through the summer.
And do you think it's fair that at this time, it's 13 minutes to midday on Friday, they're expected to be allowed open on Monday, they still don't have the guidelines?
Well, I think obviously, look, it's a very complicated structure. You're putting in place within literally a couple of weeks, I think, because I was here with you on this show the day it was first announced, and I alluded to the fact that I thought it would be almost impossible to do because of the hospitality industry and the way it works. But it's a tribute, I think, to the associations, both in the restaurant and the publicans, and the work that's gone in to try and iron this out for their members, in conjunction, obviously, with government. We've reached a point
where
it
hasn't been ironed out.
Well, we've reached a point where we're in, I think, in literally a couple of hours of being able to get the regulations in answer, though, to your question. Absolutely. Of course, it's going to be difficult. I know this from my own life experience. It's going to be very difficult for anybody in a commercial organisation looking at regulations on a Friday and trying to figure out how to open on Monday. But it's the fact of the matter is they've been closed for so long now. There's a willingness there to try and make it work, and people want to make it work.
Will we be able to follow the rules, though? Because you said it's complex. How does that impact compliance?
I think so. I mean, first of all, I think what people have shown right throughout the entire pandemic is a willingness to observe rules and regulations voluntarily. Everybody makes slips and things, but by and large, when regulations were in place, and for commercial establishments, I mean, if you actually look at looking for a COVID cert, as you arrived into almost every restaurant or whatever that was open before the last closure in just before Christmas, most of them, it was pre-booking. They had your name, they had your details, they took your mobile phone number.
It's different.
I don't.
It's different to scanning something. And there's going to be a rule now. If I have children with me, I'm going to have to sit at a table that's 2 metres away from other people. If I didn't have children with me, I'm a metre away from other people. Yeah. I mean, I'm flummoxed before I raise a glass to my lips.
But the whole thing about the under 18s doesn't make any sense. So Colm says, we follow the NPHET guidelines. The NPHET guidelines didn't refer to anything that, because you can bring in your children. It doesn't make any sense from a medical point of view. Once, say, 16, 17 year olds are inside, they're effectively equivalent to adults in terms of transmission of the virus and so on. They're inside in an environment which is not legally required to be ventilated when we have an airborne virus. It is obviously dangerous. So there's two answers to that. One, you can have the line of Stephen Donnelly, which apparently was to say, OK, leave the kids outside, which at least is in line with the NPHET advice.
Well, he said what we heard from the reports from the cabinet was under 12s, fine, over 12s, he wasn't happy about that.
But the better answer is just to say that this whole measure, which is designed to reopen indoor hospitality, is discriminatory, is creating division in society, and we should not have it. And instead, we should protect the
people around this country.
Don't cut the PUP.
There'll be tens of thousands of people around this country whose jobs are in hospitality.
But then don't cut their PUP.
Who would be
withdraw the threat? Cut the PUP in September.
Absolutely,
that's the best thing that you can do.
To hear
don't
you
cut the PUP.
You're not in a position to make
it. You're going to cut the PUP on these people in September.
They want their jobs, Paul. They don't want PUP. They want their jobs.
And when there's another lockdown,
and this is an option to reopen, and there won't hopefully be another lockdown. Nobody wants that. And the reason we've gone and proceeded cautiously all along is, as the government has said more than once, we want whatever opens now to be able to stay open.
Brenda, do you think this is discriminatory?
No, I don't think this is discriminatory. I think you have to apply gradual, cautious steps to this reopening process. And personally, I find this whole argument over whether or not children should be allowed into indoor restaurants to be absolutely ridiculous. You know, this fetishization of children, children have to be afforded the exact same treatment as if they were little adults, just really drives me crazy. I mean, you know, the people I've yet to hear a 10-year-old say, I can't wait to get to a restaurant for an indoor meal. The people who want to go to indoor restaurants to relax over a glass of wine and a decent bit of grub are the people who have been most penalised by the restrictions over the last while. For the moment, there are ample outdoor dining facilities. If you're on holidays with your kids, you will find somewhere that you can go with your kids to eat outside. Would you leave the indoors to the people who have been vaccinated and who have been looking forward to a peaceful meal? You can have up to nine kids.
Can I just say, imagine your first meal out,
and there's nine kids at the next table. I'm sorry.
What you've just reminded me of is that absolute classic, actually, of, you know, you arrive in and the family arrives in and five iPads arrive out straight away.
Absolutely.
And all five kids get out the iPads and start playing on them. Yeah. And mum and dad are there going, oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, so now we're saying children shouldn't be indoors because they don't enjoy it. Like, what?
But we should remember in all of this that hospitality workers are by and large not vaccinated. They're being placed at risk. They're being placed at risk, one, for the profits of some companies, that's true, and secondly, for the wish of some people to go and dine indoor. In a situation when we're about 5 weeks away from having very high levels of vaccination, and where I don't believe the idea...
We have very high levels of vaccination,
Colm says that it's scaremongering, right, to say that schools or colleges may not reopen. But let's go back to last year and the decisions that the government made, which only People for Profit and the socialist left opposed, to have a meaningful Christmas was responsible for 2,000 deaths and for plunging us into an extended lockdown. We cannot trust this government in the decisions on COVID. And if you look
this
at the graphs that are produced
very good
by
record
by Netflix,
of delivering,
you'll see, so you're going to guarantee that schools and colleges will reopen fully in September,
this government has
even if we're in the middle of another wave.
This government has a really, really good track record, along with all the people in the HSE and all the people who worked in the vaccination centres, in delivering a vaccine rollout programme, which has completely changed the dynamic of the situation we find ourselves in. As has been mentioned on so many programmes recently, including this one earlier on, we now have a huge percentage of our population fully vaccinated.
65% of the adult population.
We have a higher percentage again of people partially vaccinated. We have the vaccine programme open to everybody from 18 years of age upwards, and probably early next week, from what I'm hearing, we will also open it up from 16 years of age upwards. Okay. By the way, people like your good self and your scaremongering modes were saying all of that wasn't going to be achievable. So, there you go.
I mean, the difference between now and
you've missed the targets on vaccination. The government said we would have achieved 80% vaccination by the end of July.
We are ahead of our targets.
Can we move on to another element of this? Because the Taoiseach of Radcliffe said yesterday that employers, when asked to allow staff to take time off to go and get their vaccination, should have a heart, and that the staff should be vocal in calling employers out. Do you feel that's something that would work, or should the employers be told to give the staff the time off, or perhaps people should be given an appointment choice so that they can go in the evenings?
I know I saw that story earlier this week in, I think it was the Daily Mail, saying that a GP wrote to one major Irish retailer to complain that he had had staff coming in saying that they had not been allowed to take time off, that they were not getting paid time off, and they had to make the time up when they went. And I know there was a call by the Taoiseach to name and shame the employers who are doing this. I suppose you have to have some sympathy with them, but at the same time, most of these in that particular case were people on tills who had worked throughout the pandemic. So the fact that they were being penalised for taking time off to go and get their vaccine seems really unfair.
Yeah, but is it enough to say have a heart?
Name and shame. I think it is a disgrace that any retailer or any employer would not give time off.
We can't expect people who work in any job to go out and name and shame their employer.
That's the problem.
It could be done on social media without having to point out
employers should, and I would say this here and now, employers should, for their employees, for their business, for themselves, for their own families, and for everybody else in society, if somebody has a vaccination appointment, they should get the time off to attend the vaccination.
A reasonable time. Yes, you don't give them a day.
That's obvious, right? So the idea that these people who are on the front line, you know, over the course of the whole pandemic and were lauded, that they should be facilitated with getting vaccinated. That's obvious. But the question is whether it's good enough when you're in government, when you're the Taoiseach, to put it back on the worker and to say you should name and shame. I mean, I'm all about supporting the people naming and shaming, but that isn't good enough. So the government should now issue direction, guidelines to employers to say that people should be facilitated. And if that doesn't work, well, then we have legislation coming in terms of sick pay, and it should be incorporated in there to say that in the circumstances where you have mass vaccination programs, sick leave, that then we should have, it should be incorporated into sick leave effectively that you need to get this.
Okay. But I would say that a naming and shaming regime, though, would be far more effective than waiting for legislation to come about.
I would agree with you. I think if people were aware of a business which didn't give any type of thought to the safety of their own staff, which they then were asking customers to enter, I think it would have an impact on that business.
And also, I've seen till operators getting dogs abuse from people who refuse to wear masks.
I agree,
instance.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, if anybody deserves a little bit of slack at this time, I would say that it's them.
Travel. Just see the front page of the Irish Independent, which I have beside me here. Foreign travel, Delta danger, 800 cases are recorded. Now, this is over the last 2 weeks, despite the fact that we have our digital COVID cert system only up and running for a couple of days. Is it wise for people to be travelling, Colin Brophy, for non-essential reasons, do you think?
Yeah, well, look, we've put in place a travel system now, and we've lifted the restrictions where people can travel. We've put in place a European-wide system to do it. By the way, the overall number of cases from travel as a percentage of cases has actually fallen. So it's not, I mean, you can take any headline and twist it any way you want, but the actual overall number of cases that are now being reported daily, the percentage of that coming from travel is actually lower than it was.
So you're happy for people to go on holidays?
I think, look, once we agree agreed to open up, and particularly for our aviation industry and for the people working in it who are just getting back up and going now, we have the ability to travel and people have a vaccine cert to enable them to do it. And I think we have to respect that.
Would you travel?
Well, I'm going to go on holiday in Galway this year because the house booked for almost a year. But yes is the answer if there was a need or want to travel later in the year and to do it legally.
What's that face for?
Well, I've kind of had this vicarious experience because two of my kids were first on planes out of the country, and the absolute nightmare of getting the PCR certs and trying to arrange vaccinations and trying to establish the requirements in the countries they went to. I can't imagine anything I would hate more than having to present myself at the airport at the moment. And hats off to the people who do. But I do think, you see, when Ursula von der Leyen said that our COVID regulations or COVID requirements are exemplary, that suggests to me that they're not being matched across Europe. In other words, you are more at risk with the same precautions in France or Spain than you are here. Mm. So I would say that's a good reason to go to Galway, to be honest.
Yeah, okay, you're not going to Spain,
sorry,
are you?
I'm going to Galway, but I don't understand what you said there. Sorry.
What I'm saying is she said that our particular approach to the pandemic and to managing the pandemic is an example to the rest of Europe. That would suggest to me that it's not being matched.
I'm not fully vaccinated, so I wouldn't go abroad. I think a major error was made by the government 8 or 9 weeks ago when we called for mandatory hotel quarantine to be introduced for England, Scotland and Wales. If we had done that then, we would have significantly slowed the spread of Delta and we wouldn't be seeing the kind of case numbers that we have now.
Our
time is up. Brenda Power, Colin Brophy, Paul Murphy, thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's it for today and for the week. Thank you very much for listening. Today's programme was produced by Barbara Feeney, research by Amy Ryan. Our broadcast coordinator is Andrew Dupuer. On sound was Mark McGuire.